Father, we thank you one more time for having this opportunity to come together again where we can look at the reality that is to be found in your word. We think so many things are the truest reality because we see them, because we are involved or interact with different things, different people, thoughts every day. So sometimes when it comes to thinking about your word, we understand that people, and maybe even we might be guilty in the past or sometimes still, of failing to see how true, how concrete and real your word is. I ask that you forgive us if we've fallen into that perspective, because it is truly wrong and sinful. But we thank you, as I started to say, Lord, for giving us your scriptures. Because we understand the more we spend time in your word, that we say that this is your will, this is you. And you allowed your son to come to this earth centuries ago and to show men and women what it was to have truth amongst them, to have the Holy Spirit, spirit that would rebuke, spirit that would reprove, a spirit that would exalt us. Spirit that was all that you wanted to be. So we thank you for your word. I ask that you will help us to hide your word within our hearts. In our hearts, not just intellectually, but in our hearts, that it becomes a part of who we are, so that we can reflect you in this earth, wherever we are. At home, on our jobs, wherever we are, that we can reflect you righteously. So many say they reflect you, and Lord, they just do everything. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. Because you don't have to do anything for us. You don't have to. That's how great you are. You don't have to ask for permission from any of us to do a single thing. And if you take our breath right now, you are still holy. You're righteous. You are so righteous. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have thought about what you decided and we looked at it the wrong way. I ask that you help me tonight, dear Lord. This is a passage that so many people have talked about. I only want to convey what you want us to understand. I thank you for our blessings. Help us with our weaknesses. Help us with our frailties in heart and mind and body, even in finances, whatever. You are all that we need. Help us all in seeking truth, Lord. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So it is my desire on this evening to, we've been in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, and we did not complete all of chapter 12. And I mentioned on last week some things that I thought I might do tonight. So let me go ahead and tell you right now what my thoughts are briefly, and then we're going to kind of go into what the lesson is for tonight. I don't plan to really teach out of chapter 12 in 2 Samuel tonight. However, I'm going to allude to it, but we're going to go to the Psalms. I'm going to focus primarily in the 32nd Psalms, and we'll look at some verses in the 51st Psalm, okay? So, and we might have discussion, and we might not, but this is centered around, most scholars believe, the ones that I've read, that the 32nd Psalms is centered around the fact that David had sinned against Uriah, having him killed, having taken his wife, eventually marrying her, Bathsheba. And then some feel that Psalms 51 is centered around that. As I continue, I'll just kind of just talk a little bit. I think we can do that. I read something where one commentator said that they didn't believe that Psalms 32 had anything to do with Bathsheba. And I just I disagree. You might be able to prove me wrong, but I disagree. And I think part of the reason why some commentaries might say that is because they want to totally focus on the mercy of God and not really look at what David had done, the sin that he had committed. But we're going to look at the scriptures, and hopefully, if the Lord will, we're going to make some allusions to other scriptures, or maybe have Dree to read some. I tried to find, and I probably could put a little more time to it, but which one of these Psalms was written first? Was Psalm 31 written first? Was Psalm 51 written first? And I didn't find a satisfactory answer. One thing I read and said that they were probably written about the same time. I don't know. So that's still something that I want to endeavor to kind of maybe look at. So let's just kind of see where we were with this 12th chapter. And then we're going to move on to this 32nd division of the Psalm. On last week, when we were talking about David, we come to the point where Nathan had rebuked David so beautifully. I talked about how Nathan possibly was afraid. Here he was going before the king, powerful, powerful king. And I said he might have been afraid, but I said when he started speaking, I don't believe he was afraid. Something about when a man is dedicated or when a woman is dedicated, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to say what God tells me to say in spite of. It's like there's a resolve, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, gives the individual that resolve through his spirit. Jesus told his disciples, says, don't be afraid when they deliver you. Don't be afraid. God's going to give you what to say. Yes, he did. So Nathan has come to David with this parable, and he lets him know about the rich man and the poor man, and the rich man taking this man's ewe lamb. And David is indignant, but then Nathan is like, you are the man. Well, I tried to give a little bit of drama and so we could maybe feel at least, I'm like, okay, imagine what that would have been like. And then Nathan, I'm going to go back to this 11th, 12th, and 13th, and maybe 14th verse of 2 Samuel. And then we're going to go to the 32nd division of the Psalms. Now, the 11th verse of this 12th chapter, it says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house, and I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun, for thou didst it secretly. Nathan told God that David said, you know what? You tried to conceal your wickedness. You tried to conceal your sin. I said about probably between 10 months, 9 to 10 months to possibly a year had passed, and David had not repented. David had not repented because he felt safe. Well, I mean, he felt safe. Nobody was saying anything. The servants that he had to go get Bathsheba, bring it to him, they didn't say anything. Scriptures didn't tell us that. Joab, who had put Uriah in front of the gate of the Ammonites, he didn't say anything. So David has had some time, and he's probably feeling good. That's what Satan does. He wants us to feel good about having done some wickedness, and time passes. And I said something about Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter and 11th verse. And because God does not execute his judgment right then, people feel like they can get away with stuff. Have you ever been there? 12th, 13th verse. David hears that you did this secretly, but God says, I'm going to expose you. I'm going to expose you. 13th verse. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Oh, what? Thou shalt not die. The Lord has put away thy sin. This is where it seems the vast majority of assemblies, they only want to focus on that. And while that's nice, and while this is a part of the scripture, hear me well. I am not saying that this part is not important. But if we don't give, let's say we've got balances, and you put a weight on one side and a lacking on the other side, we really need to see what is the scripture saying. And I think what Actually, I don't think I know, at least most of the people that I've heard teach about David and this atrocity, this wickedness that he did, they always want to say he was forgiven. Beautiful. But we better look at the heaviness and the seriousness of what David did and what he had to do to be restored to God. My title for tonight is, O Lord, please save me. It's probably not the best title. I had another one, but I don't remember it at the moment. This is the one that I was thinking of most of the time. I repeat my title again. Let me put some feeling in them. Oh Lord, please save me. I'm wretched and I'm undone. Listen at this 13th verse again. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also, and put that in there, have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So this dying here, I believe that we could look at it in several ways. And as we go through these Psalms, I want to actually go through all of the 32nd Psalm, and I'll be picking verses from the 51st Psalm. This death, what kind of death is this? Let's just look at a few things here. I'm turning to the 32nd division of the Psalms here. There's 11 verses. David, if you will recall, when I was trying to expound on the reality of what David probably went through, we're going to see. I said, I believe last week, and I think weeks before, I said, I believe that David could not sleep. I said, I believe that that man possibly paced the floor. This man premeditated to take someone's life. He premeditated to take someone's wife, the girl of this man who's supposed to represent God to the people of Israel. Tonight, we're going to see a little bit of the seriousness of it. Dream, if you would so wonderfully read, start at verse 1 and read the whole thing, if you don't mind. Okay, the 32nd division.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Salah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgave the iniquity of my sin. Salah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Salah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Thank you. As we look at these verses, we need to remember, let's not forget, what has happened. What did David do? Nathan told David, thou shalt not surely die. The Lord has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not surely die. There's something very interesting that I want us to see. Lord have mercy. Let's go to this. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Second verse, blessed, happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. If we just read these two verses, try not to get too excited. There's so much I'm thinking about. If we just read these two verses, we will forget about the agony which the sin that came from David's heart, and he yielded to it, the death that it brought to him. Did you hear what I said? I said that the sins, let's make it plural, the sins that David committed brought death unto him. If we go back and we look at that verse in the 12th chapter where we stop, we would forget that death was about to be upon this man. I believe it was already there. Let me fix it like that. I'm going to turn to a verse right quick, and I'm coming back to these first two verses here. I'm looking at Isaiah 59. Most of you could probably quote this. Listen to what the Lord, this is a different text, but the application is befitting or apropos. Behold, this is Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Rather, his ear, I'm sorry, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Second verse is so very powerful. However, but your iniquities, the things that you did, the things that you knew about, let's not forget who God was talking to. He was talking to a people who had his law. He was talking to a people who had the prophets. He was talking to a people whose ancestors, am I saying that right? Had exemplified wickedness, seemed like the majority of the time, and they knew about God's judgment. But your iniquities, your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Lord have mercy. This was before, this was after the time of what David did, but let us understand something. God has a pattern and he does not change. That's what the scripture says. He is immutable. He does not change. And he shows us his patterns through the Holy Scriptures. This is why we study. This is why we meditate. This is why we hide his word in our hearts. So when temptations and tests come, whether it's external or internal, we can look back. How does the Lord respond? What is his way? David says, happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven. This means something. David was very guilty. We said that he was worthy of death. Men, when a man and a woman were caught in the act of adultery, they were supposed to be brought and they were supposed to be stoned. David has confessed. Now, Lord willing, on next week, when we go back to complete the 12th chapter, we're going to see where David has called Bathsheba to come live with him after about a month where she mourns. There's a child that's born. There's a child that's born. And David has high hopes, but he's gone through a period. When Nathan spoke to him, we got to remember, what was David's disposition? He did not respond like Saul. He was broken. Oh, Lord, please save me. So now we find out that he's not going to die. This is written, I believe, around the time, maybe after or so forth, where he's understanding what God has done for him. My transgressions have been pardoned and my sins have been atoned. Some of the things I was reading, we talked about the covenant, and they even talked about the Ark of the Covenant covered and so forth. I want to take it to something that I believe I've learned in seeking truth that I hadn't thought about until years ago when we were taught. So, the Bible says, teach men to be apt to teach. I hope I'm teaching something that will help us remember. When Adam and Eve sinned, there were animals that had to die. I believe it was an indication of the sacrificial system that would be afterwards. Those animals had to die, and God had them cover themselves with the skin of these fleshly beasts. And it's now said, you are carnal. So you are going to be covered by God's mercy, by God's grace here. He is making atonement for you when you deserve death. Can you imagine what he's feeling? Can you imagine what he's understanding? David is the same one who sat out there and looked up at the stars. David is the same one who God allowed to deliver these sheep. And he could look at these sheep and see that people were just like sheep. They will go astray without guidance. David walked out of the guidance of God, and he was just like a sheep that was going astray. And the shepherd has to go save him. But for us, we better recognize. For us, we better come with a broken spirit. For us, we better confess. For us, we've got to repent. David, I don't think blessed. I say happy. I just don't, that's not sufficient. So it may be like a beatitude. Go back to the first division of some. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners. This person has direction. joy. No obstacles, if you will, because I've got God. David, let's understand this. He was without God. He was without God. Now he's been restored here. So he's happy. My sin has been forgiven. It's covered. It's in a sense almost like, let's talk. I'm gonna try to be practical if I can. God does not forget the sins of an individual, but when he pardons the person, he doesn't reckon it. That's sort of a mathematical or accounting term, where it's not marked in a sense in a metaphorical ledger that this is still going to count against you. I'm absorbing this, but you need to understand something. That still, you had to come to me. Your sin has been covered. It's been pardoned. Number two, verse two. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's not charging me. He's not reckoning it against me. This is because of my acknowledgement, in whose spirit is no guile. Now, this verse jumped out to me as it never has before when I was going back and looking at this. This is amazing to me. When we look at what David did in the 12th chapter, it was full of deceit. It was so base that I think even flies would reject flying around the things that David did. Wow. It was base. Very deceptive, and to the point of even having Uriah carry that letter to Joab. How despicable. And right here we see in the scripture that it says that in whom there is no guile. So in the process where we're broken, where we're needy, where we're so dependent and understanding that we can die and be bound for hell, let's put the picture there, and our souls are lost and eternity is ours of suffering, pain, and understanding that we just totally let go. It says here, he does not impute iniquity and there is no guile. In the time of confession and repentance. Because some people only confess. When you confess and you say something with your mouth, like people like to go to Romans 10 and stuff, I'm not talking about that. But when you acknowledge you've done it, some people say, okay, I apologize. I hate that expression. People do wickedness nowadays and they say, I apologize. What does that mean? I don't see any contrite spirit. If I feel that way, I'm not even a speck before God. God's like, no. What did you do? In the moment of the confession and repenting, you're now open. You're not trying to obfuscate. You're not trying to say that I didn't do this. You're not blaming it on like, well, it's the woman that you gave me. It's the serpent that beguiled me. It's not that she shouldn't have been out there on the top of her house. No, you were the king and you had my loss because I told you to keep your word, my word with you, a copy with you and read it. You're like, it's me. And that there's no God. When we come to the Lord, if there's something, we need to just be open and broken. Open and broken. Because you can't hide. What are we going to hide from God? What are we going to hide from God who sets the blazing sun up? What are we going to hide from God who sets the moonlight up? What are we going to hide from God who is light? Lord, have mercy. Be for real. Third verse. It would say, when I kept silence, my bones waxed through my roaring all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I couldn't breathe almost. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer. Salah. What's this saying? So we go from now understanding that he's been pardoned, but now we're getting ready to understand some of the suffering and the anguish. Can I deviate just for a second? I want to talk about abortion just for a second. People tell women you can get an abortion and you can feel good about that because you have rights. But they often don't talk about when these women get by themselves and they have pain and suffering. They don't often talk about, or hardly ever, when these women try to have children. They don't talk about those things, but they want to give them the right to do something that God has not given them the right to do. How did I get to that? People don't want to look at the reality. That's why I was praying about the reality of God's word. When I kept silent, jump to turn to the 51st division of the Psalms for a second. We're going to go to look at the 8th verse of that 51st division. David, when I didn't, before I repented, this is what I believe this is. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Before I repented, I was silent. I was not open before God. I still had guile on me. I was still trying to cover up. I knew I was wrong. I kept my bones, the very structure within me that helps me hold up. Lord, have mercy. Hebrews say that the word of God is quick and powerful. And it is a determinant of the thoughts in the mind, down to the joints and marrow of the bones. Even in your inner man, God knows. You can fool mama, you can fool daddy, you can fool pastor, you can fool teacher, you can fool cousin, you can fool the masses. Sometimes. Or most of the time, but you cannot fool God. That the modern day church wants to tell, the modern day church has given a placebo or a pill, and it says you can do what you want to, but all you got to do is just lean on God's grace. And I want to talk about the reality of what David is going to endure. I didn't read that last verse where we stopped last week, where it said the sword is not going to depart from your house. You suffered before because you yielded to the wickedness. You yielded to your fleshly desires. But don't you know, David, that the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God? And now you've done it. You enjoyed your little sin moment for whatever. And now you've got the righteousness of God.
Let me say something here. Thank you for letting me say it. The wicked often will feign not to care, and sometimes they don't. But they won't spend time in God's word. That's where you and I come in, as being lights, being beacons with our words, with our deeds, with our actions, and being real before God. So they may feign not to care. It's when the child of God knows the scripture, it seems that God's hand is heavier. Sometimes the wicked go on unbeknownst, not knowing that God's hand is upon them. But his judgment comes. His judgment comes. His judgment comes. And this is what David is understanding. He knew it, and he knows it even better now. He says, my bones wax. Oh, it's like they failed me in my roarings all day long. That's a long time. Tree. I want you to, as you finish writing your note here, I'm gonna jump kind of back and forth from Psalm 32 to Psalm 51. There's some parallel things, if you will, but I just want to see here what he says. Psalm 51, I believe, is verse 8.
Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
And we're gonna come back to that verse in a little bit, but the reason why I'm wanting her to read it particularly right now is because David is making mention of his bones. He says God broke them. And I think it's beautiful. God will chastise, or God will let go. David has said that my bones failed me. I'm going to say it this way. The foundation that I had in God, I didn't have it anymore. Not because God is unfaithful. I was unfaithful. I was unfaithful. David implores God in this 51st division in the 8th verse. He says, make me, this is what we will call an imperative, but it's, trust me, it's in the right tone. Lord, please make me, cause me to be restored. Cause me to have joy of heart, because without you, I'm dead. I understand that I deserve death right now. I understand that I am nothing before you. Please restore me, strengthen these bones that I can continue to be the king now that I'm supposed to be. It is tainted now.
We, as the children of God, would count the cost before we do things, say things, go places, think things, count the cost. We are not to be bastards. We are not to be bastards in that we live as if we don't have a father. But we're going to have one or the other. We're going to have a father of glory, a father that's the father of sin and degradation and death and hell.
I didn't know I was going to talk this slow. I'm not sorry, because I think this is just a big problem in the so-called church. David says in the fourth verse, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into drought." This moisture, when we think of moisture, you should think of dew. The Bible speaks of dew, how it would water the land, if you will. We should think of the rain that would come for these people and this society who depended on the crops. It would be that David is having a metaphor here. We've seen that in Jeremiah, God speaks of himself as being a cistern that is full of water. We see Jesus says, "I am the living water." Water is given for the body so that it can continue. We can live more longer off of bread than we can off of water. The water is so very necessary. David says, "My sustenance," he says, "it had dried up." This man is speaking of death. So while we look at what Nathan told him, he said, "God also, he's removed your sin and you shall not die." Look at what he's gone through. He did not count the cost. Would you rather go through a war without having scars? Now, this is, say, well, I'm not going to be there and I'm not going to do anything. Or do you want scars? I'm talking about the right kind, the right kind. Fifth verse, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Salah, pause. Think about this. So it's like, it's almost like the first two verses should go with the fifth verse. But between those first two verses, we say, happy is the man whose sin is forgiven. Happy is the man who God does not reckon or count it. He is, I'm in the family of God. The wickedness that I did, he is going to allow me to live. He is going to allow me to continue to serve. He has pardoned me because I acknowledge that there was no deceit, no guile found in my mouth. Once I came to the realization, hey, you better get this right. But it cost him. Oh, Lord, please save me. I want you to read Drew again. I want you to read verses 6 through about 8, and then we're going to go back to the 51st division of the psalm here in a second.
"For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance."
Okay, don't read the eighth verse. Now, when we get to the sixth and seventh verse, if we were to speak emotionally, David has gone from being thankful, and it was like the arrow's going up, then the arrow drops down when we understand the agony of the death that he was facing, and then it kind of shoots up. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Okay, now, I didn't look at what this is, but I understand a little bit about grammar. It looks like this is referring to the pardon that God has bestowed upon him. You start looking at, okay, what is the antecedent? Is it one word? Is it a phrase? It is a concept. We look at what he said prior to this particular verse. He said, "I was lost, basically, and now God has delivered me." This is what the godly shall pray for. If they go out of the way to be able to repent and to be restored to God. Now, I want to quote a verse. This is Romans 6, because if we just do that, sometimes people like to pick and choose out of, let's say, my mama used to make soup, vegetable soup. And back then, I didn't like really when she made vegetable soup, because I didn't like cooked okra like that. I didn't want tomatoes. Now I like it. But I would pick around that soup and I would get the meat, I would get the corn and maybe a bean or something, and I leave what I call undesired in the bowl. People do the scriptures like that. When they need to eat the whole thing, get all them vegetables inside, get the Holy Word inside of us so it can rebuke us, so it can correct us, and then it can exalt us. Being fake with the Lord, we can't hide. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Now, I think that is so interesting and so, listen, it almost seems like David is saying, there are times when you can't find God. Now let's imagine this. Before he confessed, there's months that he might have Bathsheba in the house, but his heart is in turmoil. Do you know that as long as he held on to that sin, God couldn't be found? Now, let me qualify that. Hebrews talks a lot about when you continually sin, there is no more repentance for that sin. David was actively hiding from God. Adam and Eve, they tried to hide from God. God's like, where were they? Where were you? No. So when I look at this, you can't hold on to the sin, keep doing it and try to cover it up and think that God, that you can be found in God. David at one time says, who shall abide in the tabernacle? He's outside. Church, I don't know who's going to listen to this possibly in the future, but be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manner. Be not deceived. He who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Be not deceived that the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. To be carnally minded is death. Now, David said, seek him at a time he may be found. Now, if one commits a sin and one repents and turns from that and receives the correction and the instruction, yes, God can be found. That's the gospel. You don't have to continue in sin. What did Jesus tell that woman that they brought to him and said, who's going to care? What say you, Jesus? Jesus writes on the crown. But he told that woman, he says, I don't condemn you. I can condemn you. Don't go sin. Don't do this anymore. David, don't do this anymore. Don't do this anymore. When can God be found? Truly in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh to him. When God pardons, when God is your refuge and strength, the things, you might see them, but they're not going to destroy you. They're not going to overtake you. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. David was his own trouble. Good Lord of mercy. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. Lord, you saved me. Dandree, let's turn back to the 51st division of the Psalms. I want to go back to that 7th verse, and I want to read down to about verse 12. We've looked at David's anguish. We've looked now at his joy. But there is something that the scripture tells us. And Drew, as you get ready to read that, I believe that we can find it where we were on last week. And so before you read that, I want to read something here. I'm in 2 Samuel 12 chapter, and I'm at the 14th verse. David's pardon. David's forgiven. But listen at the 14th verse. David, even though you've received this blessing, anyway, nevertheless, because thou did this deed, or thou, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Your portrait on behalf of the Lord, I'm going to use the term Jesus says, the light that was shining in you among men, among nations. David was blessed. David was blessed. Now people can speak lies about God, even though they're not true. It's because of you. It's because of you. Lord, can't say, I don't know. Let's not give the world an occasion to blaspheme. The Bible says, let God be true and every man be a lie. If we've done something, the lie is us. The lie is us. The lie is us. It's not God. And our duty, Ecclesiastes at the end of that 12th chapter says, the whole duty of man is to fear God. Lord, have mercy. I don't know what time it is. I don't have my watch with me, but we just got a few more verses in this 32nd division. Drew, if you're at the 51st division, I actually want you to look at the 6th verse through the 12th verse and just read them straight through. We don't have to talk about all of them individually, but we want to talk about it a little bit.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Oh, Lord, please save me.
David is acknowledging. Now, some people don't know how to repent, and I'm not going to tell you what words you have to say, but there is an acknowledgement of the baseness that we would have if we've committed sin. And we all sin, but there's sins that we do that we're unaware of. Sin is missing the mark. But there are some things that are explicit that we know, or individuals know, that they're not supposed to do. Stealing, lying about hours worked. I mean, you could go on and name them. We're looking at things that David did. Stole. I stole wife. He committed adultery. Actually, we said what we call the Ten Commandments. So just look at it. Coveting covers a lot of it. Did you know that? I'm not going to teach that. David committed great, great, great sins. So he's acknowledging here to say that, Lord, I know that I've done wrong. I don't deserve you, but whatever punishment, whatever judgment you give me, you're sovereign. Give God the glory. You're sovereign. He said, pray, please, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Give me strength. If it's acknowledging it before people, it has to be done sometimes. Sometimes it's just before God. I don't know the situation. I think that would have to be looked at. David here is the king. God says, I'm going to expose you in front of the people. What you did, you thought you did in secret, but it wasn't secret to me, David. I'm God. What you did is not secret. What you did is not secret. So you better come to me and acknowledge it, because I'm God. Wipe your mouth off like you, Mr. Man. Don't you know I will take your life? So David acknowledges this and asks God, and then deal with the consequences and the results, because David is going to face the results for the rest of his life. And I say sometimes God might not make it that way. Sometimes it will, but there can be growth. The thing is to continue to grow and not turn your back on him. I think about Shimei. We're going to come up to Shimei one of these days. Let's not go there right now. The one that threw rocks at David and was pardoned for a while. I want to go to the 9th verse here in this 51st division. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out mine iniquities. Atone it, Lord. This is not a flippant request. It seems, okay, when I say flip it, just casual. Okay, I did that. Lord, please, you know my heart. You know my heart. Just forgive me, Lord. That's like a little white lie or whatever. Really? Really? When people speak like that to the Lord or about the Lord, they don't understand who he is. They still full of themselves. This is not a blot out my transgression. This is a Lord, please preserve my life. He's aware that he's worthy of death. The law said it. Now, this creating me, this is why I talk about David. I won't say he was dead. Still breathing, but he was dead. We read in the 59th verse, your iniquities have separated you from God. Do we not know that to be separated from God, there's no life? If the word was made flesh and the flesh dwelt among the people in Jesus' day, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life. Then without Jesus, do we understand that there is nothing but death? For the wages, the payoff, the reward, the wages of sin is death. And here's David for months trying to hide it when he had guile in his mouth. But then he acknowledged. But there was pain. There was great pain before. Well, I said he was drunk one time on his own ambition and desires. But he was in great pain. So he's asking God, please, create in me a clean heart. My heart is wretched. Renew a right spirit within me. I can't do it without you. I cannot. I know what I have done. David loved him some women. Seemed like a tendency that he had, doesn't it? Abigail, you're going to be my wife. You're about to be my wife. Well, Bible says she was wise. 12 verse, restore unto me the joy. I have no joy at all. No joy in salvation. No joy because I'm not in your presence. I am dead. My bones are broken. I am roaring. I am groaning. I have no peace. I don't have your spirit anymore. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm the king.
Restore your joy of life to me and uphold me with thy free spirit. You give your spirit. But he said that those who would pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, uphold me. This 13th verse, David says, after I've learned, and I have some issues with, I think, what people do, and I'm going to share them with you in a minute. The 13th verse, it says, then, this is after I've been broken and you restore the joy into me, I realize what I've done. And David is humble here. He becomes so humble that he's almost no good. When it's time to correct his children, Amnon for rape and Tamar, he's no good. He allows himself a chance to blaspheme what the law and justice should have been. He should have dealt with Amnon when Amnon raped Tamar. He should have dealt with his other children when they was out of the way. But he's now caused himself to be able to blaspheme against the truth of God's word because of what he did. Looks like he didn't feel it worthy to be able to say anything. But right here, he said, I'll teach transgressions. David, where's the teaching? Sometimes when a person repents, they feel so emotional and they mean it. But then time passes and they forget that they're supposed to continue growing. People are going to speak about what you did. But if you're righteous before God, you're going to have to endure it and keep going. But then you can say, but the Lord. Speak the Lord to the people when they want to blaspheme. Then they can be mad at God. He'll keep you in focus, but they have to be mad at God. Maybe I said that too fast. Sometimes when an individual has sinned, and many know about it, the world would like to hold that up in their face to shut their mouths. Mm-hmm. So I say sometimes we may have to endure it. Yes, what you said is true. But God, did you hear what I said? But God, you holding up what I did, but I'm holding up before you, God. I don't do that no more. I don't think like that no more. I asked for forgiveness when I did that. The Lord broke me down. And I'm so very sorry. I'm ashamed that I did that. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is the power of the God unto them that are going to be saved. I know I didn't quote it all right. Unto salvation unto them that are saved. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of his spirit. I'm not ashamed that he pardoned me. I have life now. You just keep saying that if you want to, but listen up. If you don't change, I'm gonna deal with you. Are you hypocrite? No, you can't say that about me. I'm a new creation. Oh Lord, I'm a new creation. I didn't know I was gonna say that. I said, David, where's your teaching when it comes to your children? I said, people get in the emotion and they say, oh Lord, forgive me. And I'm going to do this. And then God restores. And then sometimes, I'm saying sometimes, it's not everybody, they forget about him.
Wow. Let's not be like that. David says, and I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I don't want to stop right there. We'll come back and Lord willing in a few more minutes and look at a few more verses. Now we're going to go back to the 32nd division. We're going to look at the 8th verse. David says, because of what you've done, I'm going to now teach. Maybe he did some. Let's look at this 8th verse. I will instruct thee. Let me go back to the 7th verse. And then, Dree, would you read from 7 down through 11 again out of the 32nd division?
Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Okay, as we finish up with these few verses, I want you to turn back to 51. We're going to look at verses 15, maybe through 17 or so. these verses here, David, these were written at the same time. Again, some believe that they were written around the same time. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Following still with that instruction, it's like I've been restored now. I can be a benefit again in the kingdom. Be not as the horse or as the mule. Now, these are animals which do not have this. They were not given, at least after the fall. It doesn't seem like it was before, but the intellect that we as humans do, God given us something. And at one point I was saying that the Bible said that man became a living soul. I don't remember seeing that about animals, even though they have a soul in the sense of life. We are to be able to commune with God in a higher fashion, and him being a part of us. Anyway, be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The animals, when they would be used, have this bit that would kind of, when you needed to go one way or the other, you pull the reins from behind the horse's head, and it tells that animal, you can't keep going this way because it hurts in the mouth. David's saying, we shouldn't be like that. It looks like he's saying we should follow his instruction. We should stay in the way. Imagine if he had stayed in the way. Wow. Lest these animals come near unto thee. Looks like, I don't know if that's to do harm. That's what it seems that it means here. Someone else might bring some more out on that. 10th verse. Many sorrow shall be to the wicked. The one who continues in sin will not hear instruction. The one who has known God, listen to what I said, has known God and will not repent of evil doing, but will continue therein. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy, his forgiveness shall compass him about in repentance. So when we see that, what we need to understand is the whole scenario. What David did, how Nathan, and how he was comfortable before Nathan, and then Nathan rebuked him. His disposition was not haughty. It was not deceitful. He broke down and said, you are right. I sinned against God, but he also sinned against those other people. Uriah, Lord have mercy, and Bathsheba. Repentance in God's mercy can hold you in the palm of his hand. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. And thou shalt, and shout for joy, ye that are upright in heart. He's telling us to stay in the way. He's telling us about repenting. David says, oh Lord, that's my title. Please save me. I wish I knew how many days he cried. I wish I knew how many days he agonized. I wish I knew if Bathsheba was not right before him. I wish I knew that if Bathsheba got to the point where she could tell him, I miss Uriah. I wish I knew to the point where when the son died, how she felt. I wish I knew how she looked or how she felt when she see this man is taking me from my house. Imagine somebody coming taking you. Now they do this thing called wife swap, husband swap. Mm. Right, right, right. I don't think so. 15. Let's look at the 16th and the 17th verse of the 51st division of the Psalm, because see what some people think that they do. Well, when I did, then God knows my heart. You better be careful, because God does know your heart. He knows it better than you. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah already told us not to trust it. if God is love, then for real, you can't tell me what love is. God has told us what love is. Listen at this 16th and 17th verse in the 51st division of the Psalm. Now, this is David. David could have said, I give you all, I sacrifice. Look at how Saul talked to David. Oh, David, you can come back to the palace, David. I'm not going to harm you. I told Jonathan, I'm not going to harm you. I'm so sorry. I'm confessing, you liar. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Now listen to what this man is saying. God, you have made us a nation who are able to, through the priest, come to you and offer up sacrifices and be pardoned for sin. And though you gave us that, there is something that I know that is supersedes that I, there's something that is more profound. You don't want no bullocks. You don't want lamb. You don't want turtle dove. He said, create in me a clean heart. Not creating me a new lamb. Not creating me a new turtle dove. Not, Lord, I'm going to give you a bull. Creating me a clean heart. So I can observe to do what you have required. The Hebrews told God when Moses came down from the mountain, he says, all that thou hast said, we will do. They heard what Moses said, and Moses was letting them know, you've got to obey. If you know anything about the Hebrew culture, hearing also is equated with obeying. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. He said of the scribes and the Pharisees, these people honor me. Can I say externally? Mm-hmm. They honor me with their lips, but the heart created me a clean heart. But their hearts, their desire, they don't want to be changed. They made my father's house a den of thieves. They want to steal the temple. They want to steal God's glory. They want to kill me. These people honor me with their lips. They come to church with neckties. They put a tithe in. They say wonderful things. I'm praying for you and never lift a prayer up for you at all. And they're wicked, 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 coveting the glory of God and wanting to only be rich. Lord, have mercy.
Their heart is far from me. Jesus said, David said, our desires, not sacrifices, the ritual that show that we do, we're accustomed to it. It's a part of our culture. Mm-hmm. Else, David said, if that's what you wanted, I'd give it to you. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build up thy walls of Jerusalem. He goes and he's now, this is sort of kingly here, himself to the people. But David said, what you really want? You want to see that I know what I did was wrong. You want to see that I know that before me I am nothing and I deserve to die. You want to see that my heart is dedicated to you. I've caused pain to the assembly, but you can restore me. Nathan said, God has removed the sin. Thou shalt not surely die. But the agony, the consequences, the pain was there, and it's still going to be there. But in spite of that, because life consists of more than this world. David, Lord have mercy. Saved. That's the message that should be delivered. What shall we say then, Romans 6? Shall we continue in sin? Oh my goodness, is it, that grace may abound? Shall we say, okay, I sinned, the grace, God forgive me? Shall we could pause, ask a question? Shall we just keep sinning because grace is there?
He said, oh no, God forbid. How is it that if you are, how shall he that is dead to sin, because he goes on and talks about being dead in Christ and being raised up with Christ to live the life that Christ will have us live. How shall we that are dead to sin continue therein? Now, one of the commentaries I said, it just aggravated me a little bit. Well, several little things aggravated me. So I'll see if I can remember what it was saying. The people in that day, when we talk about the sure mercies of David, if you'll turn to Romans 4, chapter 6 to the 8th verse, we're almost through, saints. This commentary said, this was the one that seemed like it didn't want to focus on what David did. It said this was probably nothing to do with Bathsheba, and it might not be. I think it is. And if it doesn't, how well it fits. Because I think they want to dwell on the mercy, the mercy, the mercy, and the mercy. Yes, as we said last week, when we're found out, we don't want to be reminded, but we need to be reminded, lest we forget the pain, lest we forget God's anger, lest we forget God's holy, righteous, indignant anger. In the book of Revelation, he's thundering down on people who were the synagogue of Satan. He's thundering down on them. Hell, fire, earthquake, famine, pestilence. Lord, have mercy. Ooh. So some people say, well, in Romans, I think let's say 4:6-8, it kind of repeats. I think I got it right. Are you there? Will you read those few verses? Let me see what time it is. Will you read those few verses? We're going to try to wind up here in just the next few minutes.
Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
So because that's in what they call the constitution of the Bible, Romans, they say grace, mercy, grace, mercy, grace, mercy. And they say, well, the Bible said David sinned, and David said sin won't be imputed unto him. You need to keep reading. Keep reading what that's talking about. And I'm not going to try to go into it, but keep reading. Read on down. Read the next chapters. That's the fourth chapter. Lord have mercy. The sixth chapter said that we can't continue in sin just because there's grace. The seventh chapter talks about the struggle of men that when he knows what to do, but his flesh continues to say, well, you can do this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was not wretched. He was speaking in a fashion that men would understand and feel. Eighth chapter. It says something about there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we are in Christ Jesus. But David didn't have Jesus back then, and God forgave him. But we have Jesus, so we don't have to worry about what we did and how we live. We just ask God for grace. That is not what the scriptures say. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, who don't seek to please the flesh. I think we read in Romans the 13th chapter, in the last couple of verses, it might be 13 and 14, that make no provision for the flesh. And even if you don't make provision for the flesh and your mind tell you to do something that's outside of the will of God, don't do it. Now, David said, seek the Lord, pray to the Lord while he may be found. Do you not know that God can take your life in the midst of doing something egregious that's abominable? He doesn't have to give another time. People say, blessed are the God of the second chances, for he's a God of a second chance, a second chance, a second chance. Yeah, he might be a God of the second chance, but you might not be one of the ones that get it. Oh, Lord.
Presuming upon the Lord. I think that's in the 18th division of the Psalms. By not presuming upon the Lord. So there's no condemnation for the one who walks not after the flesh, but rather after the Spirit. There's a Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus. I'll misquote it. I think it's the third verse. Are you in Romans 8? If not, it's okay. I'm there now. Yeah. Romans 8. Let's just read these first three verses, and then we'll close out.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
You don't make it your habit, or you don't take little sabbaticals to sin. Because if I say you don't make it your habit, I say, well, I don't make it my habit, but every now and then, no sabbaticals. Okay. Go ahead, Dre. For the law?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay, so people get caught up. I know it seems like I've gone into teaching something else, but this has got to have the application. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. Now, people talk about the law. What the law is, we don't have the law anymore. The law was the rituals that they did. God was trying to mature them. That's what the Bible gives us to know. Keep reading the scriptures. But it was to point them to Christ. Keep reading the scriptures and you'll understand that. I'm not trying to sound condescending, but if your aim is just to sin and then talk about circumspect about a scripture or a thought, then maybe I am. Yeah, I am. So there's a law that God gave the people to bring them closer to him. They failed. So then he brings his son. And now we are the body of Christ. And so there's the law that's in Christ Jesus. Listen at it again. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. There is still a law. You don't have to bring these things ritualistically. We're not depending on the priestly system. The temple was destroyed.
law of the Spirit.
The law of the Spirit of life, not death. The wages of sin is death. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, there's so much to talk about this. It's not to say that you're going to do everything right for repenting, and this is still growing. This next verse, Dree, would you read it? For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I would go through that, but I wanted this fourth verse, and then we're going to close out. That the righteousness of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what the old law was trying to get them to do was be circumspect before God, be obedient before God. Don't go and worship these pagans. Don't mistreat your own. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, might be fulfilled in us who don't make it our custom and practice to sin and do what we want to because there's grace. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, please save me. So maybe I think I was arguing against the church, modern day church, with its Band-Aid for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close out. I was going to talk about Isaiah 55, where people say God forgets your sin. He doesn't forget. We're not going to go there. Well, we thank you for helping us to remember the seriousness of definitely in cases where it's willingly walking outside your will. We thank you that we know through the scriptures that it's not just the show and sacrifice and just going to church that you require. Because then anybody could just do and mistreat you, but you're not to be mistreated. Your son willingly spilt his blood, and many people seem not to care. Help us not to be amongst those. Help us to understand it. He said the life of the flesh was in the blood, and he died, went to the heart of the earth. You raised him up. Jesus said he would raise himself up. The Bible says the Holy Spirit raised him up. He was raised, and we're to be raised in him. May the Holy Spirit increase in us and let us deny ourselves. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Help us all in seeking truth when we're together, when we're apart. Help us with our families. We need it. Help us to be strong. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.